I welcome all the devotees to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Chaitanya Charitamrita. Today we are very fortunate to have with us Her Grace Sukhasagari Mataji to enlighten on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela from 4.51 onwards. So thank you so much, Sukhasagari Mataji, for giving your very valuable association and time and enlightening on the topic, Mataji. I hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Supriya Mataji, and all the devotees, and especially Preeti Mataji, for giving me this opportunity to study the Chaitanya Charitamrita and purify myself. We will just walk through the verses for today, and then we can do the invocation prayers and then discuss. So we will be starting with Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela, chapter 4, verse number 51. Can you hear me?
Yeah,
Mama. Sure. Mata Sanatana Rahe Prabhu Sthane. Jagannathe Ra Chakra Dekhe Karena Pranami. In this way, Sanatana Goswami stayed under the care of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He would see the wheel on the pinnacle of the Jagannath temple and offer respectful obeisances. 52. Prabhu Ashi Pratidina Milena Dujane Ishta Goshti Krishna Katha Kahe Katha Katakshane. Every day, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go there to meet these two stalwart devotees and discuss topics of Krishna with them for some time. So the devotees being referred to here are Srila Sanatana Goswami and Haridas Thakur. Verse number 53. Divya Prasada Paya Nitya Jagannatha Mandire Tahani Nitya Vashya Dena Doha Kare. The offerings of Prasadam in the temple of Lord Jagannatha were of the highest quality. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would bring this Prasadam and deliver it to the two devotees. Ikadina Ashi Prabhu Duhare Milila Sanatane Achambite Kahite Lagila. One day when the Lord came to meet them, he suddenly began speaking to Sanatana Goswami. 55. Sanatana deha tyage Krishna yadi paaye, koti deha kshane ke tabe charite pariye. My dear Sanatana, he said, if I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I would certainly give up millions of bodies without a moment's hesitation. 56. Deha tyage Krishna na paaye paaye bhajane Krishna praptyera upaya kona nahi bhakti vini. You should know that one cannot attain Krishna simply by giving up the body. Krishna is attainable by devotional service. There is no other means for attaining him. Just a couple more verses. Deha tyaga diyata sabha tamo dharma tamo rajo dharme krishnera napaye marma. Acts such as suicide are influenced by the mode of ignorance and in ignorance and passion. One cannot understand who Krishna is. Bhakti vina krishne kabhu nahe premo daya prema vina krishna prapti anya haite naya. Unless one discharges devotional service, one cannot awaken one's dormant love for Krishna. And there is no means for attaining him other than awakening that dormant love. Na sadhayati mam yogo, na sankhyam dharma uddhava, na svadhyaya stabastyago, yatha bhaktirva mojita. This is verse 59. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, my dear Uddhava, neither through Ashtanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system, for controlling the senses, nor through impersonal monism or an analytical study of the absolute truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyasa, can one satisfy me, as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.20. 60th. Deha tyagadita mo dharma pataka karana sadhaka napaya tate krishnira charana. Measures like suicide are causes for sin. A devotee never achieves shelter at Krishna's lotus feet by such actions. Premi bhakta viyoge chahe deha chhadite prema krishna mile seha napare marite. Because of feelings of separation from Krishna, an exalted devotee sometimes wants to give up his life by such ecstatic love. However, one attains the audience of Krishna, and at that time he cannot give up his body. Gadhanu rage ravi yoga nayaya sahana tate anuragi vache apana marana. One who is deeply in love with Krishna cannot tolerate separation from the Lord. Therefore, such a devotee always desires his own death. Yasyangri pankaja rajasnapanam mahanto vanchantu mapati rivatma tamopahatyai yarhyam bujakshana labheya bhavat prasadam jahyama sunvata krishan chata janma bhi syat. O lotus eyed one, great personalities like Lord Shiva desire to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet to drive away ignorance. If I do not get the mercy of your lordship, I shall observe vows to reduce the duration of my life, and thus I shall give up bodies for hundreds of births if it is possible to get your mercy in that way. This verse was spoken by Rukmini Devi in Srimad Bhagavatam 10:52-43. Rukmini Devi, the daughter of King Bhishmaka, had heard about Krishna's transcendental attributes, and thus she desired to get Krishna as a husband. Unfortunately, her elder brother Rukmi was envious of Krishna and therefore wanted her to be offered to Sishupala. When Rukmini became aware of this, she was greatly aggrieved. Thus she wrote Krishna a confidential letter, which was presented and read to him by a Brahmana messenger. This verse appeared in that letter. 64. Mrita pura kena hasa valoka kalagita chahrit chayagnim no ched vayam viraha jagnyupayukta deha dhyane nayama padayo padavim sakhete. O dear Krishna, by your smiling glances and melodious talk, you have awakened a fire of lusty desire in our hearts. Now you should extinguish that fire with a stream of nectar from your lips by kissing us. Kindly do this, otherwise, dear friend, the fire within our hearts will burn our bodies to ashes because of separation from you. Thus, by meditation, we shall claim shelter at your lotus feet. This verse, Bhagavatam 10:29-35, was spoken by the gopis when they were attracted by the vibration of Krishna's flute in the moonlight of autumn. All of them, being maddened, came to Krishna. But to increase their ecstatic love, Krishna gave them moral instructions to return home. The gopis did not care for these instructions. They wanted to be kissed by Krishna, for they had come there with lusty desires to dance with him. 65. Ubuddhi chadiya kara shravana kirtana achirat pabe tabe krishnira charana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sanatan Goswami, give up all your nonsensical desires, for they are unfavorable for getting shelter at the lotus feet of Krishna. Engage yourself in chanting and hearing. then you will soon achieve the shelter of Krishna without a doubt. A person born in a low family is not, sorry, Nicha jati na hai Krishna bhajane ayogya satkula viprana hai bhajane rayogya. A person born in a low family is not unfit for discharging devotional service to Lord Krishna, nor is one fit for a devotional service simply because he is born in an aristocratic family of Brahmanas. 67. Ye bhaje se bada abhakta hi na chara, Krishna bhajane nahi jate kula de vichara. Anyone who takes to devotional service is exalted, whereas a non-devotee is always condemned and abominable. Therefore, in the discharge of devotional service to the Lord, there is no consideration of the status of one's family. 68. Dinera adhika daya kare bhagavan, kulina pandita dhanira bada abhimana. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is always favorable to the humble and meek, but aristocrats, learned scholars, and the wealthy are always proud of their positions. This is perhaps the last verse. Okay. Viprad visad guna yutada ravinda nabha pada ravinda vimukhaswa pacham swapacham varishtham manye tadarpita mano vachane hitatha pranam punat. Punati sakulam natu guri manaha. One may be born in a Brahmana family and have all 12 Brahminical qualities, but if in spite of being thus qualified, he is not devoted to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who has a navel shaped like a lotus, he is not as good as a chandala who has dedicated his mind, words, activities, wealth and life to the service of the Lord. Simply to take birth in a Brahmana family or to have Brahminical qualities is not sufficient. One must be a pure devotee of the Lord. Thus, if a Swapacha or Chandala is a devotee, he delivers not only himself but his entire family as well. Whereas a Brahmana who is not a devotee but simply has Brahminical qualifications cannot even purify himself. What to speak of his family? This is a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam 7, 9, 10. Yeah, I think I'll stop there. Let's recite the pranams. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasvai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupaka Damahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Giriraja Swaminiti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, everybody. Like we see today, the verses being, we read out now are a little heavy, actually. It is talking about somebody trying to end their life and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructing Srila Sanatana Goswami why it is not a good idea. He gives so many reasons for why that is not a good thing to do for anybody, leave alone a devotee. But it's not advisable to just give up one's life like that, you know. So in about two chapters earlier, we saw how Chota Haridas, he actually gives up his life. And Srila Prabhupada, in that context, he says that, you know, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he heard that he had given up his life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just said, it's okay. I mean, he did not comment much. He did not, you know, in one way express, you know, dissatisfaction that he did that. But in the case of Sri Sanatana Goswami, without even him telling out his desire, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, since he's none other than Krishna, he knew what was going on in the mind of Sri Sanatana Goswami. And so he comes and talks to him and tells him that give up this foolish desires you have in your heart, you know, that you want to give up your life and things like that. So so we see that, you know, these two are in one sense kind of contradictory, because in one situation, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told him that, you know, for a devotee to commit such a crime as looking at a woman is so abominable that, you know, it's better to give up life, their life. So, but then in the case of Sanatana Goswami, he's giving the exact opposite instruction, that it's very foolish that one should give up their life, you know, in under any situation. So how do we understand this seemingly contradictory situations? So anybody who would like to, you know, voice their thoughts, because we've read about this earlier in about two chapters back. Mataji's?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Mataji.
Go ahead, Lakshmi Mataji. I just said, I don't know. I'm waiting to know.
Actually, I too don't know, Mataji. I just wanted Mataji to clarify a little bit on the question. I want a little bit of clarification.
Sorry, Mataji, I was just drinking some water because my throat is bad. Yeah, I was just saying that we had learned a couple of chapters earlier that we, you know, we read about the pastime of Chota Haridas. He actually commits suicide, you know, because he looked at a woman in a wrong way. And when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to know of this, he actually said that, you know, either he stays here or I will walk out. That was the ultimatum he gave the devotees. Because the devotees were telling him that, you know, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed his dissatisfaction, his displeasure, and told that he should, you know, Chota Haridas should never show up again in front of him. So the other devotees, they said that it's not a big major offense or anything. So why are you, you know, being so harsh in your punishment? So then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't try to defend. He only said that I will leave this place. If you so much want him back, let him come back, but I will leave this place. So that was the ultimatum he gave for Chota Haridas. And when he came to know of this, he gave up his life. But then in the case of Sanatana Goswami, we just read a couple of verses now, I mean, quite a few verses, and we saw that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is advising him just the opposite of what he told him. So they're kind of contradictory in one sense. So I was just wondering if any of us can remember why he gave such an advice to him, but in this situation, he's giving a totally different advice. He said nobody should give up their life. So I was just wondering if any Matajis wanted to pitch in, because we have already covered that part. So that was the question. I hope it's clear.
Yes, yes, Mataji, now it's very clear.
So. Anyways, well, if nobody wants to comment, then Ashila.
Mataji. Hare Krishna. This is Gopindaki Dasi. Sri Chota Haridas has committed, it's not the proper for, he's a sannyasi, and he looked at talking to the Mataji, and that's what Lord Chaitanya is his super soul, his Lord, he knows what's going on in heart. So then that was like a lustfully he was looking and talking and something like that. So that's why he dejected him. By Sanatana Goswami, he's because of his he had those sores on his body, and pulse was and weak people coming out and pus and blood was coming out. And so he was feeling very contaminated. And so he didn't want to, and Lord Chaitanya would embrace him. So that is what he was so much unhappy about, that as long as I stay and all these oozing things, and so then Lord Chaitanya would embrace me, and it's a kind of offense, it's not good. So then he thought it's better that I commit suicide under the Jagannath's card. So that's why, so then Lord Chaitanya, I think in one verse he's also saying that it's not, his body is like very pure, and whatever is coming out from it is like it's like a chandan, a guru, and all this together, kesar and all these things together, it's like a very beautiful, fragrant paste that has been on it, and like that. Chatusama. He said, Chatusama is like a Chatusama. And it's, he likes it very much. So that's why he won. But then that after saying this, then he also embraces him. And all his oozing wounds disappears. That's what I have heard. Okay. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for explaining it so beautifully. I definitely couldn't have done it any, closer to what you explained. So yes, like Mataji very nicely explained, Haridas Thakur had actually crossed the dharma. He was a brahmachari and he was still looking at women. And that's why it is, because he had crossed his Varnashrama Dharma, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not tolerate anybody. Like Srila Prabhupada explains it, saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not tolerate any kind of hypocrisy. He was very much against hypocrisy. Like, you cannot, wear a saffron robe and do something else. That was very unacceptable by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the beginning of the chapter 2, we have seen that, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lovingly dealing with a little boy, Damodar Pandit advised him that, this may not be looked upon nicely or properly by the public. They may look at it in a different way just because the mother of the boy is a young, beautiful woman. So actually, Damodar Pandit says that this lady, though she's Brahminical in nature, she has one defect. And he says that her beauty is her defect. That's what is given in earlier verses. We have read this, that he says for a Vaishnava, this beauty of a woman, is the defect. That's how Damodar Pandit presents it to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so wary of, what was happening around him and how he should conduct himself. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. But just to set an example, he would follow all these etiquettes, all these Varnashrama etiquettes and all the rules and regulation, because all said and done, though we may say we are not this body, we are this soul, we have to act accordingly in the society. So this is the important message Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually trying to give. And like Mataji rightly said, Srila Sanatana Goswami's intention to give up his life was coming from a very different motive, because he was very concerned about giving pain or discomfort to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved Sanatana Goswami so dearly that he would hug him on every occasion almost. So he did not like that, all because he had some skin rashes and infections. So he did not like those pus oozing out and things like that to go on to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. So that's why he kind of wanted to end his life so that, you know, he can avoid putting Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through this misery. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the Lord himself. He knew the heart of Srila Sanatan Goswami and tried to come and advise him. So in this context, we see Srila Prabhupada says that ISKCON is a movement. He says that ISKCON is a movement which actually promotes anti-suicidal policies. So when Srila Prabhupada says like that, he is saying that, you know, the people in Kali Yuga are so materialistic in nature that they tend to forget what their real identity is. They tend to forget that their true nature or their constitutional position is to offer devotional service unto the Lord and his devotees. So they forget their actual position and they're always trying to gratify themselves. And Prabhupada also says in many of his lectures that this is like, you know, a country of blind men leading the others. So how can blind men lead the others? They are themselves blind. So that is where the world is heading to. So it is actually heading to a suicide. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. And this Krishna consciousness movement is trying to actually save them from this suicide. So he said Krishna consciousness is the anti-suicidal policy, you know, which will come and help out all these materialistically minded people who are actually killing their own soul. Like, you know, he also uses this word Atmahana. Like we see in the Ishopanishad, there is this verse which mentions Atmahana. So more than actually killing the body itself, Srila Prabhupada, he says that killing of the soul is a greater offense than even killing the body, the material body, actually. Because this human form of life is so rare. It's so rare, and we need to utilize this human form of life to actually realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to offer devotional service to him and to realize him. But if we use this human form of life for other things, we are actually committing a spiritual suicide. But then Srila Prabhupada, he advocates civil suicide. And what he means by that is, like we all go through different phases, like brahmacharyam, grihastha, the vanaprastha, and then sannyas. So, I mean, typically in the Vedic days, I don't know how much we are able to do now, but Prabhupada says that vanaprastha ashram is kind of like a committing, like, doing a civil suicide. You try to distance yourself from your own family. Like he explains that the husband and wife, they're trying to, you know, cut off all their physical relationships. The wife does go with the husband and try to assist him, you know, to, they generally after 50, that is in Vanaprastha, are spending their time reading the scriptures and visiting temples, like going for darshan to temples, traveling on pilgrimages and things like that. So they maintain distance that way, you know, they're trying to focus all their energies and their mind on the Supreme Lord, to offer devotional service to him. So he says that this is a civil suicide because you're trying to cut off all your relationships, you know, like family, material relation, because all these things are, you know, attachment, all this is like, you know, they're obstacles in our path to realizing the Lord. So he says that we need to do that. We need to actually cut our ties with our family. Like how Kunti Maharani in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, 8th chapter, I just would like to read that verse. It's a beautiful one. Atha Vishvesha Vishvatman Vishvamurte Svakeshume Sneha Pasham Imam Chindi Dridham Pandushu Vrishnushu. Translation, this is 1841, Srimad Bhagavatam. O Lord of the universe, soul of the universe, O personality of the form of the universe, please therefore sever my tie of affection for my kinsmen, the Pandavas and the Vrishnis. So here we see Kunti Mataji is actually, Prabhupada explains that she is requesting that all her ties be cut off. And she wants to concentrate on Lord Krishna himself. In the previous verses and the verses after, she explains that, you know, she is related to Krishna. I mean, Krishna is related to her from both sides of the family. Not only her paternal family, but also Krishna is, you know, the Pandavas are the close friends to Lord Krishna. So though she doesn't want Lord Krishna to go back to Dwarka, but she knows that, you know, the Vrishnis, they need his association too, that her paternal family needs the association. So she is in two minds. She's kind of torn because she does not want her sons to be bereft of Lord Krishna's association, but at the same time, she has, you know, affection for her paternal family too. So she's torn between these two, and then, you know, she does not know how to decide. So that's when she quotes this verse, you know, she says, cut off all my attachments to all my kinsmen, because Krishna is related both to her in-laws and the paternal side. So she is praying especially for this kind of a prayer. So Srila Prabhupada, he says that we all should pray for this kind of a prayer. This is what is civil suicide, you know, like cutting off our ties, cutting off our attachments, material attachments, especially as we are moving closer to the Vanaprastha age. And that is what is required. Civil suicide is what is required, not mortal suicide, not ending the body. Srila Prabhupada says that what is the use? You know, people sometimes are in so much distress due to whatever reasons, you know, maybe they lost all their savings, or, you know, they were hit by some kind of a catastrophe, or, you know, sometimes even some diseases or illnesses can drive people to end their life. So Srila Prabhupada explains that, you know, these people think that that by ending their life, they can put an end to the sorrow. But then the laws of karma are always acting. So what happens is it comes back with a bang. They need to take another life to actually, run down their karma. And so there's no easy escape. Like Srila Prabhupada says, there's no easy escape. So there's absolutely no point trying to, end your life, because you will have to carry off where you left it. So the laws of karma are stringent and they are going to act on you. So Srila Prabhupada discourages this kind of an attitude, thinking that, something is lost in my life, or this life is worthless, I need to end it. So he very strongly discourages this attitude. But at the same time, he encourages civil suicide, which is cutting off all ties, you know, like trying to concentrate all your energies on Lord Krishna and trying to offer devotional service. So in these verses also, we just read Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explaining, he's also, you know, Srila Prabhupada is basically following in the same footsteps. And he says that bhakti, Krishna cannot be achieved by any other means other than bhakti. Bhakti is of prime importance to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We may be very knowledgeable, like it says, it talks of Ashtanga Yoga. We may be a yogi, we may be a jnani, a karmi, doing all nice sacrificial ceremonies, trying to get the best ghee, or trying to get the best pandits, you know, who are well-versed in the scriptures to recite these Vedic mantras. But all this will not give us any devotion towards the Lord. Only devotional service to the Lord will actually make us realize him. And for that, and he also explains that these thoughts of ending one's own life are in the mode of ignorance and passion. And when we are in the mode of ignorance and passion, it clouds our intelligence, it clouds our judgment. So we're not thinking in the right way and we make the wrong decisions. So we need to chant and do devotional service, you know, basically chant to even come to the platform of mode of goodness, so that we are at least primed to understand what this spiritual knowledge or what this science of Godhead is all about. So at least we need to come to the mode of goodness so that we can, you know, contemplate or think on these matters. But if we are always running in the mode of passion, like which is so common now in Kali Yuga, that we find ourselves, personally me, I'm like finding myself hard pressed for to find time for anything. I'm like, oh, I need to do that now. I need to do this now. Always living in the future or in the past. So we always find ourselves in a rat race, and that mood or that attitude may not help us to realize Krishna. So we need to come at least to the mode of goodness. And that's why in Kali Yuga, this chanting is so much recommended, because it calms us down. For at least some time, because of the power of the mantra, we tend to forget these modes of passion and ignorance, which are constantly bombarding us. So unless we go beyond these modes, we are not able to actually try and concentrate on Lord Krishna. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he explains in this verses that, you know, if you are trying to commit suicide, it is in the mood of passion or ignorance. And that is no way to understand Krishna. That is no way to reach him. You're not going to go back to Krishna by doing any of those things. He says that you have to do devotional service to Krishna. And that is the only way you can you can go back to Godhead. So further, the tone or the meter of these of this, you know, kind of changes a little bit, where he tries to explain these exalted devotees like Rukmini Devi, the gopis, who all are feeling so lost in, you know, when they don't get the association of the Lord, that they want to give up their lives. So that is actually showing the mood of devotion. But then the Lord always knows what is their mood, you know, and before any such thing happens, these devotees are experiencing or, you know, exhibiting this Mahabhav only for the pleasure of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. You know, it's not any personal gratification or anything. So the Lord is totally aware of this. And before anything, it's explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam that before anything happens, the Lord is always there. Like how now we see, before Sanatan Goswami could go any further with this thought, the Lord came and he himself advised him that this is a foolish thing to do. So the Lord always intervenes, you know, in the case of pure devotees like that who are so exalted. So the Lord intervenes, and it adds to the rasa, or, you know, it adds to the transcendental mellow, the pastimes. So that's in the case of very exalted, very, very, you know, advanced pure devotees like Rukmini Devi is his own wife. The gopis are his soul. So, you know, like, so this, we are looking at very advanced devotees who are thinking in that way. But for, you know, souls like me, ordinary souls, we need to be careful of what we're doing. This is a useless endeavor to even think on those lines. So to assuage him, to actually further pacify him, he says that a Vaishnava should not look at any kind of bodily designations, like some devotees may be sick, they may not be able to talk properly, they may not, you know, like they may have different disabilities or something which is stopping them from rendering devotional service at the best. But a pure devotee or a devotee should never look at these faults in any other devotee who's trying to perform devotional service. So we need to be careful when we are trying to, inquire about a devotee's health or even talk about their health and things. Because in the sixth verse of the Nectar of Instruction,
दृष्टे स्वभाव जनिते वपुषश्च दोषैः न प्राकृतत्वमिह भक्तजनस्य पश्येत् गङ्गाम्भसां न खलु बुद्बुदफेणपङ्कैः ब्रह्मद्रवत्वमपगच्छति नीरधर्मैः ब्रह्मद्रवत्वमपगच्छति नीरधर्मैः. So in this verse, we have seen, you know, when we did our Bhakti Shastri course too, that a pure devotee should not identify with the body, you know, of even if they have any kind of disabilities or, you know, some defects in the body, a pure devotee should not look into these defects. They should not look into what is the origin, like Vaishnava Jati Buddhi, Srila Prabhupada says. We should not look at what caste or what, race or what color this devotee belongs to. Because when we are doing that, we are actually looking at, you know, in a very bodily platform. And a pure devotee never functions at the bodily level, you know. A pure devotee actually, he only looks at the soul. Like we have learnt in that verse in Bhagavad Gita. Oh, what is that verse? Pandita Samadarshina. That Gavi Hastini. So the pure devotee or a person who is sober.
Vidya Sampanni Gramin.
Yeah, Vidya Vinaya Sampanni. That verse. Thanks, Mataji. Yeah, in that verse we see that, you know, a pure devotee, he, or a learned person, a truly learned person, he looks at the soul in each of these entities, like Vidya Vinaya Sampanni, Brahmani, Gavi Hastini. Brahmani, even in the Brahmin, Gavi Hastini, or the elephant or the cow, he looks only at the soul, because he's looking at how these entities will perform devotional services to the Lord. So he only looks at the soul of the living entities. And a devotee, as a devotee, we should be looking at the soul of the other devotees and try to see how well they are engaging themselves in the service of Lord Krishna. We should not try to distinguish based on bodily color, lineage, race, or you know, caste. You know, are they belonging to some upper Brahminical caste or a Shudra, or, you know, things like that. So that is completely forbidden, like we have seen in this Nectar of Instruction verse 2. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that this, when we try to do this and try to look at a devotee with this kind of mindset, we are committing the mad elephant offense. So this mad elephant is, like we know, it is mad, and it just goes and tramples everything around, whatever it sees. So that's how this offense is so detrimental to our spiritual path, that we will be literally demolishing everything we have tried to cultivate. Like when the mad elephant runs, it destroys the whole field, you know, it tramples around and just uproots everything, and you know, the whole thing is a mess. So similarly, when we do this kind of an aparad, of looking at a devotee with material eyes, looking at their designations, trying to see where they have come from, Vaishnava Jati Buddhi, we are committing this mad elephant offense. There are a couple of pastimes, I thought, very sweet pastimes, which are instructional in nature. I thought it'll be nice to, discuss together. One that came to my mind is that of Shri Pad Ramanujacharya and his wife, Rakshambal. So when Ramanujacharya, he tried to invite his Shiksha Guru, like he was taking Shiksha from Kanchipurna. He invited him to, he actually wanted to get Diksha from him. But Kanchipurna kept saying, no, 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 you know, I'm not the person, I'm a Shudra. So, and you're such an, I mean, they all knew his true position as an Acharya. So they could easily see, you know, his true position. So he was taking a very humble stand and saying that, no, I cannot give you initiation. So Ramanuja was thinking, what is the best way, you know, I can get the mercy of this devotee. So he wanted to invite him home. And he thought that, you know, once I invite him home, I can, you know, take his Mahaprasad, his leftovers, then I'll get his mercy. Because anyway, he's not giving me Diksha.
So what happened was, once he invited him home for lunch, and but you know, Kanchipurna knew of this plan of Ramanuja. What he did was, when Ramanuja went to Kanchipurna's house to fetch him, meanwhile he already left and he came to Ramanujacharya's house and asked his wife that, "I need to eat, I'm hungry." So she served him, and then he left. You know, even by the time Ramanujacharya came back, he saw that his wife told him, informed him that he has come and he has left. And so Ramanujacharya very eagerly asked, "Where is the Mahaprasadam? Where is the Mahaprasadam?" So his wife told, "He is a Shudra, so I just distributed the Mahaprasadam away, you know, because he's a Shudra, and I showered after that and I cooked a fresh meal. I can serve you that." He was so heartbroken. He sat and cried there, you know, for so long, like how his wife, you know, like, because they belong to a very high Brahmana class family. And he was so heartbroken that from that time, his mind was working, how I can get rid of this association of my wife and, you know, take to Lord Ranganatha's service full time. You know, he wanted to give up. So he was thinking, when will that time come when I can get rid of her association? Because this was not what he was expecting, you know. And then a couple of more instances happened when his guru, like Mahapurna, came with his wife. That time, Rakshambal and his wife, they went to the same well to fetch water. And some of the drops of water from Mahapurna's wife's pot fell into her pot. So immediately she got very, perturbed and very kind of angry. And she said, "You are from a low-class Brahmin family. Don't you know I come from a very high lineage family? Now that you've contaminated my pot, I need to throw away all the water and fetch my water again." So this was Mahapurna's wife, and she was a very Brahminical lady, and she was very upset, you know, and she started crying. And you know, she didn't tell her husband what the reason was, but her husband came to know of this, and then they quietly left the house, you know, without informing. They just left the house because they thought that, you know, this is, they felt very unwelcome. So when Ramanujacharya, he came to know of this, again he was heartbroken, and he started thinking, somehow or rather I need to take sannyas, you know, I need to get rid of this material attachment, call my wife, and I need to take up sannyas. This cannot go on. So one day what happens is, he sends this young Brahmana boy to his house and tells him to ask for some alms, you know, some prasadam from his wife. So his wife comes and she shoos him away. She says, why should I give you prasadam? So that time the boy goes and actually this is a senior Brahmana, not a young boy. So he goes and tells Ramanujacharya that, "Your wife did not honor my request, you know, so I don't know what to do." So Ramanujacharya, what he does is, he writes a letter and says that, you know, your brother's wedding festivities are going on, so this boy will take you there. So, you know, this boy is actually bringing this message from your paternal family, you know. So so give him proper, respect and treat him properly. So when she reads that, so this Brahmana, he takes this letter with him. And when she reads that letter, she's like, immediately, because she's so attached to her paternal home, immediately, you know, she treats that Brahmana very nicely, feeds him nicely. And Sri Ramanujacharya takes this opportunity to actually send her away to his to her parents' home. And then, you know, he goes and tries to take sannyas diksha after that. That's another story. So we see from this example that, you know, Ramanujacharya and his wife, of course, they had exalted personalities. But like I said, in a very instructional mood, this anecdote or this pastime is many a times recited by even our Guru Vargas, to see how it is so wrong to look at somebody, you know, in terms of their, qualifications by birth, or, you know, by the lineage or anything like that. Because ultimately, Mahapurna would give diksha to Sri Ramanujacharya, though he was from a lower Brahminical class, but he is the guru of Ramanujacharya. He literally begs him to give him diksha. So that is the exalted position of Vaishnavas. We should not look at the external features of Vaishnavas. The other pastime, of course, is our famous pastime of Pundarika Vidyanidhi. So this is the very opposite. I mean, this is the other end of the spectrum, where Pundarika Vidyanidhi led a very royal life. He had so many servants massaging his feet when he was sitting, and very interesting descriptions are given. Like, he used to chew the betel nut, you know, the pan, the tobacco, the betel nut pan, and he used to spit it and laugh at it, you know, laugh at the red stains it causes. So when Gadadhar Pandit, he saw this, he was like, is he even a devotee? I mean, he is just reveling in all this material luxury and all these things. So, I mean, he gets all these questions in mind that, how can this person be a devotee? Why did Mukunda bring me, you know, to meet this person? So when Mukunda understands his mind, he starts reciting this Putana's pastime, that how, you know, in spite of Putana trying to poison Lord Krishna, Lord Krishna gives her the position of a nurse. So, you know, immediately Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he goes into an ecstatic, into transcendental ecstasy, and he was lying in that silk satin bed with, you know, so many servants massaging, and in a very luxurious state. He immediately starts ripping off his clothes and starts rolling on the on the ground, and cries out, you know, in ecstasy, "Where is my Lord? Where is my Lord?" like that, and then he faints, you know, because he goes into transcendental ecstasy. And then, seeing this, Gadadhar Pandit, he makes up his mind that, you know, I should take diksha from such a pure soul. Though he has all these external, you know, comforts, or he's from a rich lineage, from, you know, so good looking, all the riches he has, everything, but still his mind is always attracted to, you know, just one verse kindled off like so much of transcendental ecstasy in him. So this was all just an outside pretense he was just putting, but his heart was always, his mind was always absorbed in Krishna. So even a small kind of stimulation would actually, give rise to such a transcendental ecstasy. So he was that great a devotee. So Sri Gadadhar Pandit decided that he should take diksha from him. So when he actually woke up, from his transcendental sleep, Gadadhar Pandit got diksha from Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So, like, we see these are two ends of the spectrum. One, we see, you know, when we are trying to differentiate devotees based on their lineage, if they're coming from a lower caste, or maybe not very economically well off, or, you know, any such reasons. But on the other side, we also see that we should not, you know, try to favor devotees or try to be partial just because somebody is from a high lineage and or from a higher birth, or they have so many riches. Like in the Nectar of Instruction, to the verse which I just recited, it stated that, you know, like, one may be belonging to this Goswami family, but, you know, just because they are, you know, born into a Brahminical or Goswami family, does not make them a Goswami. On the other hand, if a person who follows these rules and regulations and who's actually trying to serve the Lord is a Goswami, because he's trying to give up his material attachments. So it is wrong to differentiate and be partial just based on bodily designation or, you know, whatever qualifications he or she may have. So this is the lesson, you know, we are getting from these few verses. And further on, we will see how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in fact, instructs that, you know, how a pure devotee of the Lord must engage in devotional service and not, you know, be hung up on these material kind of designations. So further verses, we'll be going through those, and sweet discussions between Haridas Thakur and Srila Sanatan Goswami. Actually, I would like to stop there, and please do forgive me if I made any mistakes, and please correct me. Feel free to correct me, and I would love to hear from you, from all of you, regarding your realizations. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Very nice, Mataji. Very, very nice, detailed class. You covered so many important points. Thank you so much. And yeah, I do agree with Cyril. What is that? What did you say? Cyril? Cutting off. Cyril, whatever. Okay. Basically, alienation or whatever. Yeah. So all that sounds really correct and nice. And also towards the end, also you were talking about how it is not, Jati Buddhi is not good. So very nice stories and very nice way of relating back. Mataji, but I do still have a question. I mean, I'm still not able to reconcile the very first point that you said, that in the case of Chota Haridas, just because it sounded to me more like it's the mistake if one is doing that is not, that doesn't go well with one's ashram, one can do suicide, but otherwise one cannot. But how does that work? It doesn't even work logically, right? Meaning, if a brahmachari, okay, he does look at a girl, but eventually he steps out of the ashram and he should continue to do his service. He takes up grihastha ashram and he continues to do his service. So there's no question of suicide anyways. It doesn't matter even if you have transgressed your ashram rules, you still have an option of changing your ashram and going ahead. Where is the question of suicide here? That is my first question. Because then everyone should be doing suicide, because 90% of the not everyone stays in brahmachari ashram always. There are so many people who move on. So then should everyone be doing suicide? That doesn't sound any logic to me, Mataji. That is the first thing that I had. I still have trouble understanding that point, that it's okay to commit suicide under certain circumstances, under certain ashram situations. So can you please throw light more on that? Because without having that, I mean, everyone will make mistakes. Everyone will be doing mistakes all our life. So it doesn't mean that it's a license to end life. So that's the point that I'm trying to get at. Can you throw more light on that?
Sure, Preeti. Maybe I skipped explaining that part. Srila Prabhupada actually explains it this way. He gives these two examples, actually. You know, when Chota Haridas, when he heard the news of Chota Haridas, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's okay, you know. When he was informed that he committed suicide, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that's okay. Again, we have to remember one point, that this is instructional. Many of these pastimes of the Lord with his devotees are instructional. So first thing is, we have to take it in that mood. Second thing is, Srila Prabhupada explains further that when Shivananda Sen came with his wife and told Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they are blessed with a child, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu congratulated them. He was not against grihastha ashram. He was not against having children. He was not against, you know, people trying to have a family or run a family or, you know, do all those things. What he was against was wearing a saffron robe and trying to do those things. He said, if you want to, take up grihastha ashram, be my guest. So that's the message Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what Srila Prabhupada actually explains, that when Shivananda Sen and his wife came with the good news that they were having a child, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu congratulated them and he was very happy for them that they were blessed with a child. So he's not against any of this. Like you rightly said, if a person, you know, anybody, because we are in this material world and, Maya can attack us anytime. So we have to understand and accept the fact that, you know, we may have to move on to some other ashram to try and do, but not stay in that ashram and be a pretender and, you know, wear a saffron robe and then do all the wrong things. So that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to teach us here. He's not against people switching ashrams. He's not against any of those. Yeah.
I get that. So basically wearing saffron and then, you know, trying to use it as an advantage and still do something that is abominable, using that as a, you know, advantage. Yes, definitely. Now I understand, Mataji, definitely.
Yeah, that's how Srila Prabhupada actually, he puts both these examples I'm sorry if I didn't mention it in the class. Maybe I got carried off in a different flow of thought. But that's how Srila Prabhupada explains it, because I had the same question when I was reading. So, but Srila Prabhupada gives very nice, clear answers. And he gave this example of Shivananda Sen, where he comes with a child and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so happy that they're having a child. So it's only a lesson that, you know, when you are in some ashrama, try and be faithful to that ashrama, you know, do not break the rules, because this, if we don't follow these varnashrama thing, you know, rules and regulations, it's going to lead to utter chaos in the society. And that's what Srila Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to teach us here. Definitely. He was not against anybody going to grihastha. No, he never had any such.
Because see, fall downs happen. It's not about, you know, it happened or it didn't happen. Every fall down is bound to happen. But taking advantage of that ashram and then doing nonsense, that is a different story altogether.
Right? You're right. Yeah, because, you know, people tend to have, you know, especially when somebody sees a saffron robe. I know some devotees, they are not even able to distinguish between brahmacharis and sannyasis.
Yes, many of them don't even, even
they
now.
They don't know. Like,
they don't know the difference, yes.
They give them the same respect and, you know, they get a lot of respect. And so when you're in that, so that's what, you know, all through the Srila Prabhupada's classes and all through the scriptures where such a thing is quoted, the sannyas ashram or the brahmachari, you know, ashram is given such high status. Even if we recall, you know, like in those days, the brahmacharis and sannyasis were first fed prasadam, you know, because they are sacrificing everything for the service of Krishna. That is such a high position. I mean, we cannot take it for a joke that, you know, I'm a brahmachari, but I do anything. No, saffron is not a joke. I mean, it is. You need to give that much of importance to that ashrama. And everybody gives that. You know, even anybody sees a saffron person, they pay respects. Even now in India, they do that. They recognize that this is a very special ashram. So we need to be respectful and aware of, you know. So the person who is in that ashram should also behave, you know, like they say, I forget that saying. Caesar's wife should be beyond any suspicion or something, you know, like that. So you have to conduct yourself in such a way. And that ashram is a tough one. So like this, you know, brahmachari or sannyas ashram. So you have to conduct in such a way that you are above suspicion. You need to follow the rules of the ashram very strictly, because people, you know, are looking at you at a different light. They're looking at you as though you are some, at a very high level, you know, compared to grihasthas or vanaprasthas. So that is the respect the ashram demands. So that is the, like they say, every right comes with a duty. It comes with responsibilities of how to maintain. So I think that's the message Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to give us here.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much for clarifying that. Thank you very much, Mataji. Makes sense.
Thank you. Sorry, I just turn off the video because I drink water. My throat goes dry.
That's okay.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Koti koti tandvat pranam to your seva. You just feel that here and here and here, more and more. This has been taken me pranam. Mataji, can you please, if there is no question, can you please sing whatever you want to sing, Mataji? Koti koti dandvat pranam, chala Prabhupada, chala Gurudev ki jai, Hare Krishna. And one more, 1 minute, 1 second I will take. We should not judge any Vaishnava who is senior, who is junior. Because we don't know last birth how sincere they are in a bhakti. Oh, little Vrinda Gopi is inspired, Bal Vrinda is inspiring us. Yesterday not able to do a more japa and just seeing his association and her mother association, both are tired but still doing japa. So this is the benefit of Vaishnava association, Mataji. Koti koti dhanvat pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai, Hare Krishna.
Dhanvat pranams to you too, Mataji. You always share nice, you know, sweet devotee interactions, which I tend to forget many times. I tend to overlook. because I'm caught in the rat race and I tend to overlook. So always I thank you for reminding me of sweet Vaishnava relationships. So I'm grateful to you for that. Sure, Mataji, after the Q&A, if there are no more questions, I can you know, sing a short bhajan, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Sukhsagri Mataji. Thank you so much for this wonderful class. And it is really a very important lesson, Mataji, I have learned today, that we should not see devotees on the base of their caste, creed and country or religion. We should see them on the level of devotees, irrespective of whatever they are. That is very nice, Mataji. And the examples you have quoted are also very eye-opener, Mataji. How even Guru Ramanujacharya also treated his wife in the same line. It's very wonderful, Mataji, to know. And Mataji, coming to Sannyas Ashram, nowadays we see that Sannyas Ashram is somewhat contaminated. So we cannot see that much pure sannyasis except in our ISKCON. And other religions also we cannot see. So so many of my friends raised a question. So how are sannyasis in this Kali Yuga more reliable? So can you explain this, Mataji?
Yes, Mata. If you strictly see by Shastras, five things, you know, should be avoided in Kali Yuga. Like, I don't know the verse off my head. My Prabhu knows. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were just discussing this a couple of days back with my husband. So, you know, like Ashwamedha Yagna, Sanyas Diksha, all these things are actually forbidden in Kali Yuga. Because, you know, people will not give respect to that, you know, that position or to that ashrama or to that, you know, because maybe people may not be able to even do justice to that ashrama. But then this is what my Prabhu we were discussing, and he said that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wanted these sannyasis to be there because before they were like babajis and, you know, people like that. But he thought this Kali Yuga is deteriorating so fast that, you know, if you allow for Babaji's to come around, you know, they would start doing anything and everything, you know, and it'll get more deteriorated. That's why you know, give some sense of, you know, like strictness or some sense of rigor to this, you know, to celibacy, you know, to this sannyas. That's why he said that sannyas should be given, because Babaji Diksha would, you know, just dilute it all the more in Kali Yuga, and it will go even more wishy-washy. So that's why he said that, you know, he said that we should start giving sannyas dikshas, and because Kali Yuga is that bad, at least, you know, something will be maintained, if not everything. So that's what I understood, Mataji.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna devotees. So, are there any questions for Mataji, Sukhsagari Mataji?
Hare Krishna Mataji, I have two more clarifications, Mataji, if it's okay.
Please, Mataji, please go ahead.
Mataji, such a wonderful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very nice. Mataji, can you please clarify that Atmahina, you mentioned the killing their own soul. Can you little bit brief on it, Mataji?
Atmahana, it's actually, did I read out the verse, Mataji? This is from the Ishopanishad prayers. Let me give you, this is the third verse of Ishopanishad, Mataji, which goes like this. Asurya nama te loka andhena tamasavrata tamste pretya bhigachanti eke chatmahano jana. So this is the verse in which Srila Prabhupada actually explains what this, okay, let me read the translation. The killer of the soul, whoever he may be, must enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. And let me just read Srila Prabhupada's words. You know, many times they are so potent, it helps us to understand easily. Intelligent human beings must always remember that the soul obtains a human form after an evolution of many millions of years in the cycle of transmigration. The material world is sometimes compared to an ocean, and the human body is compared to a solid boat designed especially to cross this ocean. The Vedic scriptures and the acharyas or saintly teachers are compared to the expert boatmen, and the facilities of the human body are compared to favorable breezes that help the boat ply smoothly to its desired destination. If, with all these facilities, a human being does not fully utilize his life for self-realization, he must be considered Atmahana, Atmaha, a killer of the soul. Sri Ishopanishad warns in clear terms that the killer of the soul is destined to enter into the darkest region of ignorance to suffer perpetually. So like we see, killer of the soul is somebody who, in spite of getting a human form of life, does not take to God realization or does not take to Krishna consciousness. He is still wasting his life away, you know, in material tendencies, in material attachments and things like that. And he is killing his soul. Like, you know, that very typical example of the parrot in the cage is given, you know. You put the parrot in that golden cage and nicely, you know, feed it and do everything like that. Feed the parrot and, you know, do all those things. Put in a very nice gold studded cage and this and that. But that bird wants to fly away, right? That is its position. It wants to do that. And I mean, on the other hand, this is another analogy which is given, that if you starve the bird, but then you just put it in a golden cage and you starve the bird, it's going to die. So similarly, our soul is such that it is craving for Krishna. That is our constitutional position. And that's kind of dormant because of all our, you know, these material coverings we have. We don't even sometimes realize that that is our position. So that is our sad state. And then that'll be like, you know, nicely sitting, a bird sitting in a nice golden cage, but then not feeding the bird anything. So when we don't feed our soul, Krishna consciousness, we are actually starving and killing the soul. So in this context, elsewhere also Srila Prabhupada mentions that two words, Pashugna, Atmagna. So Pashugna is, you know, somebody who kills animals like that. He says even that is a lesser offense, you know, when compared to Atmagna. Atmana, you know, when Atmana can be performed, you know, if like we were reading today's pastime, when a person tries to end his life, you know, thinking that he is left with nothing else. So that is one way you're doing Atmana, by trying to end your own life and depriving yourself of God realization. The other Atmana which Srila Prabhupada discusses is when we try and stop another devotee from performing devotional service. That is a very great offense, you know. So when we see a devotee and maybe due to envy or whatever reason, you know, we try to hinder all their devotional services, their devotional life, that is again Atmahana. We are committing the murder of the soul for that devotee. So that is a very big offense, like a mad elephant offense. And that'll, you know, if we try and get envious and stop some other devotee from performing devotional service, that is again Atmahana. Like you're trying to end the devotional service. So we should try and see that we never, you know, stop any devotee from doing devotional service. On the contrary, we should try to serve them so that they serve them. And that should be our mood. So these are the two lessons I learned when, you know, from Srila Prabhupada's books, when I read this word Atmahana, Mataji. I hope it's clear.
Yes, Mataji, very clear and very thankful for this information, Mataji. I never knew that, and it's very nice. Mataji, regarding today's class, I am just trying to understand, Mataji. So this question, I have a confusion both for Chota Haridas and Sanatan Goswami. So Chota Haridas, he was a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Same goes for Sanatan Goswami. So you mentioned the thoughts of committing suicide, we will be in the ignorance and passion. So the real goodness will be covered. So the question is, how come a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's always in the goodness, actually we all are trying to be in goodness. So how come this passion and ignorance suddenly cover their goodness? And how does it happen for Sanatana Goswami, who is such an exalted devotee? So how come the ignorance and passion is overtaking their goodness, even though they are very much close to Mahaprabhu? We are all not that much close. We are so back. So how do normal people try hard and they are very much close, but still they are covered by this ignorance and passion? I'm just trying to understand it, Mataji.
Very nice question, Mataji. This is not explained, but you know, By reading Srila Prabhupada's books and, you know, listening his lectures and so many devotees' lectures, my understanding is this, Mataji, these associates of the Lord who come, they are here for instructional purposes. So many times we read that, you know, Brahma came under the mode of passion. Lord Shiva was under ignorance and so many things like that, you know, like how Arjuna was bewildered. Why would Arjuna be bewildered? I mean, he is like the close associate of Krishna. I mean, why would some person who is playing and sending, you know, spending time with Krishna be bewildered at all, you know, who is in such close association with Krishna? So these devotees are just, this is my personal understanding, maybe there are better explanations for this, that these devotees are just used as a lesson to teach us, Mataji, how we should behave and how, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he himself came in the role of a devotee to teach how a devotee should behave. So he's trying to just give us all these lessons through his confidential associates, you know. So that's how I'm looking at it, Mataji. I don't know if there is more deeper explanation to it. Maybe the other Matajis on the call can pitch in if they know more reasons, maybe cited somewhere else in some other Shastras, Mataji.
Okay, Mataji. So they have been used as an instrument by the Mahaprabhu.
Yes, Mataji. When these exalted devotees like Brahma, or, you know, like when they do some seeming offenses, we have, that's how, you know, even in the last class, I don't know if you were there, Mataji, the similar thing was there, you know. I told this Prabhupada pastime. I will repeat it again, Mataji. Maybe it may help to understand. So one devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and told him that, you know, Prabhupada, it appears that a guru or an acharya need not be an uttamadhikari. He can be a madhyam or kanishta, you know. So then Prabhupada was surprised and he said, why do you think so? Why do you think that, you know, an acharya can be, madhyama or a neophyte, you know, or a kanishta like that? Who told you all these things? No, it doesn't work like that. So then the devotee said, no, Prabhupada, we were just discussing. I was discussing with another devotee and he thinks that, you know, an acharya does not have to be a topmost devotee, does not have to be an uttamadhikari. He can be like a kanishta or madhyama like that. So Prabhupada was not very happy with it and he pressed on and asked him, who told you this kind of a thing? Who is giving you this kind of lessons? Who are you learning these things from? So towards the end, the devotee, you know, after much, Prabhupada kept asking him. He was not happy at all. He was very unhappy with what, you know, he was hearing. So then he kept asking him. And then this devotee told that, no, some devotee I was having a discussion with, he did not give the name out because he did not want to rat out. So he told him that, this devotee I had a conversation with, he actually told that, you know, Brahma comes under the mode of passion and sometimes ignorance and this and that. So, you know, ours is Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. So he is our acharya. So he being an acharya, he's influenced by the mode. So he's not a topmost devotee. So Prabhupada was furious when he heard this. And then he said, how dare you comment on Brahma like that? I mean, you have no, who is this making up all the stories? And you're now, he has become your guru, is it? Like that Prabhupada asked something like that to that person, to that devotee, like that. So he was chastised heavily, you know, for this kind of an understanding. And he said that Brahma is such an exalted devotee that you cannot even imagine, you know, like they are doing this just for instruction purposes. So that's the message I got, Mataji. I hope it helps to understand, you know, like how when these associates of the Lord are coming in these pastimes, we need to be very careful, you know, what we think and how we understand their pastimes. That's how I understand, Mataji.
Yes, yes, Mataji, that clears that. So now I got a very clear understanding, Mataji. The pastime of Prabhupada was so useful for that. And one final question, Mataji, I was trying to understand. So the third pastime that you mentioned about Pundarika Vidyanidhi. So normally while we read Bhagavadam, we come to know that we have to get detached from material desires or material opulences. We don't have to stick much into it. But after listening to this pastime, I'm trying to understand, even though he was having a luxurious life, he was totally engaged in Krishna. He was in a transcendental state when he heard the words from, you mentioned like Putana's Leela. So I was trying to understand, he had material opulences, but he was not attached to that. So like, we don't have to be very much worried about detaching the material, but we have to get attached to Krishna. So the problem is not the opulences, the problem is our attachment to it. So is my understanding correct, Mataji? I'm trying to clarify it.
That's a wonderful realization, Mataji. Yes, you're so nicely putting it, Mataji. Like you said, like Prabhupada also gives this example, you know, like when a rich person gives like, say, $10,000, and when a poor man gives like $10, which is higher, you know, in the eyes of Krishna, that rich person may be a multimillionaire or a billionaire, and for him 10,000 is nothing, you know. But for the poor person, he may be just making $10 per hour or 15 per hour, you know. But he's giving all the 10 to Krishna, so that's what Krishna sees, you know, what not you give, but what you're actually holding back. So that's what Srila Prabhupada gives the example of. And you are so right, Mataji. Like, we have several devotees, and I see a living example in Ambarish Prabhu. As soon as he actually came to know, you know, came under the guidance and shelter of Srila Prabhupada, he is from such a rich family. He is always dedicated in services, and you know, like we see how much he's doing for the temple of Vedic Planetarium, and we do see such walking examples around us even in this Kali Yuga. So we are fortunate to have association of these devotees. And yeah, like you rightly said, you know, like even Janaka Maharaj, this question is also asked in that question, in that context. He is a Mahajan, you know, but then he's a king, right? Sometimes people ask, how can that king be a Mahajan, you know, how can he be renounced? But in Bhagavatam, we have several stories, right? We see how Prithu Maharaj, you know, all these people, so, such exalted Vaishnavas, they are kings. And how we see even these Pandavas, you know, they are such a rich Kshatriya family, so wealthy. They ruled over the whole world, but how they are, you know, so God conscious, Krishna conscious. Yeah, like you rightly said, these external facilities, you know, for a pure devotee, they don't affect him or her much. They are oblivious to their surroundings, you know, like how this other pastime is also there, you know, where this person goes and asks for Bhakti Vinoda Thakur, if I'm right. And we ask him for the Chintamani jewel, and he says, go, it's just lying in the dustbin there, you know, behind my house, go take it. So then the person thinks, oh, this Chintamani, he's thrown in the dustbin, so he must be having some bigger, you know, greater wealth, actually, that he's putting Chintamani in the dustbin. So when he goes and asks, so is there something more, then he gives him the Maha Mantra, you know, the science of God. So for devotee, it is like that, Mataji, like they don't care for all this. Pure devotees, they don't care. Even though externally they may be blessed because, you know, of their previous karma. And like in Bhagavad Gita, Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe, they will be blessed with in a Brahminical family or Srimatam, aristocratic family, because of past karma. But pure devotees, they don't care, Mataji, like you rightly said.
Yes, Mataji, thank you so much. That also makes us a warning for us also, Mataji. Even if you see some devotees are very much opulent and they're using it, we should not think that they are attached to the opulence. They might be very exalted devotees. So we should be aware also. We should not comment on them or think that they are very much opulent and they are into the material life.
Yes, Mataji, like once we just remember and keep in mind that all this is given by Krishna, right? It's Krishna's property, and Krishna gives, you know, Krishna is giving all this. So then I think we can try and reduce those tendencies when we see somebody's rich. You know, we know that this is Krishna's property and he's given them. So, and also, you know, if we are having some wealth, if we take it in that mood that, you know, this is Krishna's property. Like how Srila Sanatan, if we go through the further verses, he'll say that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Srila Sanatana Goswami that this is not your body, this is my property, he will tell. So you can imagine the exalted position of Sanatana Goswami. He says, this is my property, I want to use it for preaching. So give up these thoughts, you know. That's what he tells Sanatana Goswami. So like that, it's all the Lord's properties, and if we are in that mood, it helps, I think. Though it is easier said than done, but yeah, it's nice to read and at least try to imbibe as much.
Yes, Mataji, very well said. And from this pastime, Mataji, we can know the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he is telling to Sanatana Goswami, that's my body, so you cannot waste it, I have to use it. And he is hugging him. So it shows the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mataji, today's class was wonderful, Mataji. Got so much to learn. And thank you so much, Mataji. You explained all very well. And thank you for your answers. Thank you, Mataji. Jai Sachinandana. Hare Krishna.
Thanks, Mata. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dantavat pranams.
Hare Krishna, Mata.
All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Mataji, beautiful class. I think I really liked the flow. You touched upon the verse. You talked about Sanatan Goswami's humility and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. After that, you correlated with NOI, Isha Upanishad. So there was definitely a lot of, and Ramanujacharya's pastimes. So it all blended well together, Mataji, in the sense you took it from various places and then helped us understand the crux of the message, which is very important to know in this case. And then you also answered various questions, such as obviously trying to understand what Chota Haridas's point of view was when he committed suicide versus what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami was going through in terms of humility as a reason for suicide, and what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's verdict was at the end of the day between the two. So definitely, I enjoyed the whole class and the whole narration, Mataji. I don't have any specific questions, but thank you so much, Mataji, for your association. Appreciate it. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Radhika Mataji, for taking down notes.
I was just going to say that she is like so thorough and so keen, like, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, so keenly listening. So that's a wonderful quality, Mataji. I need to learn that from you. Thank you.
Oh, no, not at all, Mataji. Your class is so good. And Preeti Mataji, your questions when it comes to Chaitanya Charitamrita, I always look forward to her questions, because that in one way answers our questions as well. I look forward to her questions. So thank you, Mataji. And one thing I was really touched upon, I mean, I was really touched is where Sanatana Goswami, he was hesitating to walk on the path where the sadhus were going. I mean, that to me was above and beyond what anybody could think of. Because, okay, you are in an altar, you're doing service, that's something, but then you are walking on a path to go, you know, go near the temple, and he doesn't even want to disturb any sadhus who are walking along that path. And this is the extreme humility one can have, because you always you're wanting to what do you call it, eager to serve, and in the process you get lost about what others have to think about that service you may want to offer, right? I mean, in that perspective, I was really touched upon by the statement of Sanatana Goswami, by the act of Sanatana Goswami, where he portrayed himself to be humbler than a blade of grass. So that to me was a big takeaway, Mataji. When I just read that statement, it really struck me, and I just wanted to pass that as a comment during the class. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
So cool, Mataji. Like, more nectar is actually coming. It's so sweet, the further verses. And Preeti Mataji, I think in tomorrow's class is going to regale us in all that nectar. And like you rightly said, Preeti Mataji, ask these questions, you know, for our benefit. She knows everything, but she just asked for our benefit many
times. No, Mataji, seriously. I seriously don't know. Okay, Mataji, I just wanted to add, I don't know if it's right or wrong, but I just wanted to add, since you also brought the story of Kanchipurna and Ramanujacharya being invited home and then to take prasadam. It was a very similar mood. Like he didn't take the route that others would take. He took a reverse route, and that's how they actually missed each other. Because Kanchipurna was also in the same mood as Sanatan Goswami. Like he didn't want to bump into any Vaishnava who's going for service. And he took the alternate route. I mean, it's so, you can really connect the two. So I just thought of adding that.
Superb. Superb, Mataji.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's the bona fide Sri Vaishnava speaking there.
Oh, I don't know. I felt like I dared to speak without a reference. I didn't really. I somehow vaguely remember it from some old memory. So I just spoke it. But I should again look at the reference again. But one thing, Mataji. Tomorrow, Mataji, we'll have Leelamrita. I mean, not Leelamrita. Prabhupada lectures. There's a small change in the schedule for this week. And Friday, we'll have Chaitanya Charitamrita. Just letting everyone know on the call, we'll send announcements. Thank you, Sukhsagri Mataji. Such a beautiful class. You made our day. Thank you.
Thank you, Preeti, for giving me the chance to purify myself.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Sukhsagri Mataji. I take half minute. That I have seen Radhika Mataji Madhulji so totally involved to explain the Shri Bhagavad Gita sloka and translation, and she speaks, see Anjana Gopi, our Priti Vilasini Gopi, our Vrinda Gopi, and Vrinda, little Bal Vrinda's mother. So Mataji, so nicely they explain the leelas and slokas, 5-6 times they speak, and the kids will also follow them, our Pandav Seva, and they our Bal Vrinda and Janvi is by heart that sloka. So how much potency in that katha, how much strong sadhana, Mataji. And today she remind all the point. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Radhika Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. Sukhaswari Mataji. Koti koti danvat pranam. The moral, each and every Vaishnava are very special.
Sure, Mataji. You're so right. It takes all, you know, to make up, you know, to everybody has that special quality, and you're so true, Mataji. I mean, it's so true that everybody's special, yeah. Mataji, because you had requested, I will just sing a couple of lines of Ishopanishad. And if there's time.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hi, Bol, Mataji.
Sorry, Mataji. Just one point I wanted to share. I wanted to ask or get it clear from you. You explained everything very nicely. Very nice class, Mataji. Thank you so much. And all the pastimes were very nice. The one thing I realized from the question you asked in the beginning, that why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was behaving differently with Chota Haridas Thakur, and why he was different with Sanatan Goswami. And then there is a verse which explains that committing suicide is in the mode of passion and ignorance. So what I realized is, I mean, please correct it if my realization is wrong, Mataji, that I realized is Sanatan Goswami is beyond this modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. But I think that is not the case with Chota Haridas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very mercifully, is trying to remind him and about that he is not he doesn't come into these modes. So he's mercifully trying to uplift him from these thoughts. That's what I realized, Mataji, from this verse. Please correct it.
Yes, Mataji. I mean, yeah. Like Lakshmi Mataji was saying earlier, you know, like even Chota Haridas, he was constantly in the company of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how could he even get under the modes, you know? So that was the question she was asking. And I feel that, Mataji, these all are basically instructional to us. And now, like you rightly said, we see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Sanatana Goswami in clear words that it's in the mode of passion or ignorance to, you know, commit suicide. So he is trying to instruct Sanatana Goswami that this is not in the mode of, you know, you need to rise above these modes. That's what I'm understanding from the verses we read today. So yes, Mataji, these are basically instructions to us that how we need to be careful about what we're trying to do and think.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Yeah. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mata. Hare Krishna.
Once again, thank you so much, Sukhsagri Mataji.
Yeah, yes, Mataji. Please go ahead, Mataji. Krishna Goswami, he is also mentioning that Lord Chaitanya is teaching also from the punishing and with the different devotees. And he is teaching by his dear devotees. Example. That's what Krishna Goswami says. So they, Haridas, Chota Haridas, he's very dear to him also. But he was looking at the lady lustfully. That's what it is meant.
Yes, Mataji. She got cut off.
I think her voice is not coming. It's frozen.
Yeah, I think the internet, maybe there's some problem.
Okay, Mataji, I think we can fulfill Vrinda Gopika Mataji's desire. And if Kamadaki Mataji gets connection again, we can talk.
Okay, Mataji, I will just sing a couple of verses from Nectar of Instruction.
Okay.
Vacho vegam manasah krodha vegam jivva vegam udaropasta vegam etan veganyo vishahet dhiraha sarvamapi mam prithvim sashishyat atyahara prayashascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyam cha shadbhir bhakti vinashyati utsaha nishchaya dhairyat tattat karma pravartanat sangatyagat sato vrittih shadbhi bhaktih prasiddhyati dadati pratighrnati kuhyamakhyati prachati bhukte bhojayate chaiva shadvidham priti lakshanam krishneeti yasya giritam manasadriheta deekshasi chet pranati bhischa bhajantamisham shushrushaya bhajana vignam ananyamanya ninda dishunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya nindadishunya hridam ipsita sangalabhya drishthai svabhava janitaih vapushascha doshaih na prakritatvamiha bhakta janasya pashyet gangambhasam nakhalu buddhuda phena pankaih brahma dravatvam apagachati niradharmaih brahma dravatvam apagachati niradharmaih syat krishna nama charita disitapya vidya pittopataptarasanasya narochikanu kintvadaradanudinam khalu saiva jushtha svadvikramadbhavati tadgadamulahantri tannama rupa charita disukirtananu smrityokramena rasana manasi niyojya tishthan vraje tadanuragi jananukami kalam naye dakhilamiti upadesha saram kalam naye dakhilamiti upadesha saram
वैकुंठ जनितो वरा मधुपुरी तत्रापि रासोत्सवाद् वृन्दारण्यमुदार पाणिरमणात् तत्रापि गोवर्धनः राधाकुण्डमिहापि गोकुलपतेः प्रेमामृताप्लावनात् कुर्यादस्य विराजतो गिरितटे सेवां विवेकीनकः कर्मेभ्यः परितो हरे प्रियतया व्यक्तिं ययुर्ज्ञानिनः तेभ्यो ज्ञान विमुक्त भक्ति परमाः प्रेमैकनिष्ठास्तथा तेभ्यस्ता पशुपाल पङ्कजदृशः ताभ्योऽपि साराधिका प्रेष्ठा तद्वदीयं तदीय सरसी तां नाश्रयेत् कः कृति कृष्णस्योच्चै प्रणयवसतिः प्रेयसीभ्योऽपि राधा कुण्डं चास्य मुनिभिरभितः तादृगे भव्यधायि यत्प्रेष्ठैरप्यलम् असुलभम् किं पुनर्भक्तिभाजाम् तत्प्रेमेदं सकृदपि सरः स्नातुराविष्करोति तत्प्रेमेदं सकृदपि सरः स्नातुराविष्करोति जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद
जय प्रभुपाद कोटि कोटि दंपत प्रणाम हरे कृष्ण
सो ब्यूटीफुल माताजी
सो ब्यूटीफुल सो अमेजिंग शी मेड दिस एल्बम फॉर हनुमत प्रेषक महाराज दिस एल्बम दैट शी सैंग फ्रॉम वेरी नाइस थैंक यू
Yeah, I composed this one for because Hanuman Prashak Swami Maharaj, he always carries Nectar of Instruction, the small book, the small edition in his bead bag. You know, he says that that has everything we need to know about Krishna consciousness. So for one of the for his 70th Vyas Puja, I think I composed this this Ragamalika. It's basically six different ragas. And I gifted him a CD because Maharaj likes Nectar of Instruction so much. That's why I just wanted to do some same.
Mataji, make please share, if you don't mind, that video with us. You sing this Agnani Ki Mirandas Charnanan Jana Shalakaya.
You mean Nectar of Instruction, Mataji? Or?
Yes, Mataji. Both, whatever you today sing. Please.
Yeah, even if Mataji already made the YouTube, Mataji, she has made it. I will tell her, I'll request her.
We'll share it, Mataji. Vinita Mataji is on the call. We'll share it. Here.
Yes, Mataji, I will do that.
Yeah. Thank you so much,
Sukhasagari
Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Tolerating you. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you for the beautiful singing last, Mataji. Like so sweet, Nectar Mataji. I always adore your singing. I'm like a big fan of your singing, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Yeah, I think it's the Nectar of Instruction, right? So Nectar is coming from there, Mataji.
And from your lotus mouth, Mataji. So sweet to hear from you.
You know, I will quote Hanumat Prashak Swami Maharaj on this too. You know, when devotees go, you know, like his disciples come to him and say, you know, Guru Maharaj, we know we pay obeisances unto your lotus feet. He's like, where is the lotus feet? We have crab feet here, you know, like that. So he's like that, you know, he's so humble by nature. So like that, That's the nature of instruction doing the magic there, Mataji. Nothing about me there.
No, Mataji. Your hard work can...
Yes.
After that, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Dev Mercy, Mataji. You put I your hard work it. Also.
Yeah, all goes to Guru and Gauranga, Mataji. Very bold.
Okay. So, finally, a big thanks to Sukhasagari Mataji for giving this wonderful class and at the top for singing beautiful Nectar of Instruction song and making our day wonderful. So on the, I have a request for the devotees. If there are no more questions, with the Mataji's permission and devotees' permission, so we shall end this call.
Yes, Mataji.
vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindho bhayeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవృందుకి జయ్, రామాచార్య శ్రీల హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి జయ్, శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ కి జయ్, చైతన్య చరితామృతకి జయ్, నెక్టర్ ఆఫ్ ఇన్స్ట్రక్షన్స్ కి జయ్, అండ్ హర్ గ్రేస్ సుఖ సాగరి మాతాజీ కి జయ్. థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్ మాతాజీ, థ్యాంక్ యూ సో మచ్.
హరే కృష్ణ
మాతాజీ, హరే కృష్ణ.
ఐ థింక్ కౌమదికి మాతాజీ లాక్డ్ ఆఫ్, రైట్? Yeah. She was saying something. You can listen to her tomorrow or Friday.
Yeah. Okay, Mataji. Hari Bol.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.